How might America's class divides deepen because of the COVID-19 outbreak? Well, some say they already have. This week, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio blasted the Brooklyn Nets for arranging COVID-19 tests for the entire team. Four members of the Nets did test positive, and the team said it was important because they had contact with the public. But should those tests have gone to sick people who still can't get one? At the White House yesterday, a reporter asked the president, do the well-connected go to the front of the line? This is what he said.
Well, that you'd have to ask them that question. I mean, I've read. No, I wouldn't say so, but perhaps that's been the story of life.
Well, remember the Titanic? Upper class, upper rooms, everyone else trapped down in steerage? Of course, this isn't that. But Heidi Klum, Instagram influencers, and other rich and famous Americans have been getting tests. Our next guest, New York Times business reporter Nelson Schwartz, calls this the velvet rope economy, which is also the title of his new book. It's not just medicine. Nelson told us that he contacted some of the people in his book who build safe rooms in wealthy homes. Their phones are ringing off the hook. The very wealthy are also installing custom air filtration systems like the ones hospitals have. And Nelson, we know there are concierge doctors. You pay them an annual fee, a few thousand, get round-the-clock special care. What are they doing?
Basically, I spoke to one concierge doctor that I wrote about, and he had the foresight to get virus swabs a few weeks ago. So he's now organizing drive-through testing in Silicon Valley. I spoke to another concierge medical firm. They're arranging for people with underlying conditions like respiratory distress to get oxygen concentrators. Mm. They're arranging 90-day prescriptions for drugs in case the supply chains run into trouble at pharmaceutical companies. They're also arranging nebulizers for taking drugs. You know, concierge docs are doing what they can to help their patients, even if that means jumping the line. And in the age of the coronavirus pandemic, not all patients are created equal.
Well, you know, and we should hasten to say, and we don't want to fan those flames. We don't want to further divide Americans. Somebody who has gone out of their way to pay a few extra $1,000 to have a doctor who will attend to them in this way might say, but I invested in this. You know, this is my right as an American to pay for this extra care. You say what?
I mean, this is the system that we have in terms of healthcare right now. What's scary is that we're all in it together. And if you have only a small number of people tested, that puts everyone at risk. I mean, we want the maximum number of people tested right now, not just those with means.
And we need to have people tested who may be very, very sick. And the doctors need to figure out, is it COVID-19?
Absolutely. I mean, we don't want the worried well getting tested. We want people who actually have the symptoms and need the tests. But again, the healthcare system is built differently for people with means. I mean, at Stanford, donors get a red blanket and they're known as red blanket patients to the doctors. So, I mean, that's a very obvious sign of privilege. But those kinds of things exist throughout the healthcare system. And at the same time, we've seen cuts in Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement. We've seen cuts in local hospitals. It's something I write about in the book. Closure of a hospital in a poorer suburb of San Francisco, even as you've had multi-million-dollar facilities go up in the city. This is something that divides our society.
And it divides our society, but what's the further damage? You write in the introduction to your book about how if you are passing the queue, you know, if you're jumping the queue, whether it's in education or in travel, or especially if it's in medicine, you're not noticing the problems that, you know, millions of Americans are noticing. So you don't even know they exist.
I think it leads to less of a sense of urgency. I mean, when you have the elites, as I write about, in New York, you can take Blade to JFK, skip a two-hour wait in traffic, and just make it a 15-minute helicopter ride. You can use the private suite at LAX, which is basically an airport within an airport, except you avoid the lines and the congestion and everything else. It would be pretty appealing right now. And you can go directly to your plane and bypass the airport. You're not going to be interested in more funding for infrastructure, or for roads or repairs or rebuilding. I mean, you're just going to sort of go in the fast lane and not worry.
Well, and in your book, you take a look at hospitals. That's one of the things you spend time on. And you point out that the life expectancy of some residents is something like 71 to 74 years. But in a neighboring affluent community, it's 85 to 87 years. This makes a difference, this access to health care, for instance. But what do you say to those who say 'twas ever thus?
I think, you know, it's true in some ways that the stratification and the tiers we see now are a throwback to the Gilded Age. There is that element to it. But I think what's changed is there was a period in the middle of the century and into the 60s, 70s, and until the 80s, when you had a more egalitarian impulse in our society. At Yankee Stadium, for example, in the old days, you could walk down to the field to get an autograph or see your favorite player. You can't do that anymore. There's the legend section, which is only for elite ticket holders, and there's a concrete moat, as the fans call it, that prevents people from walking down. And that's a real change.
But we put up with it. You know, how do you think this might or might not change in COVID-19? Do you think at a certain point, when it's your grandpa, you know, who isn't getting a test, people will rebel? Do you think the government will ever interfere?
I think it's a real test for society, and we're going to find out. I mean, I hope people come together and there's more of a spirit of unity, but I can't help but think money's going to continue to make a big, big difference.
Nelson Schwartz, author of the new book, The Velvet Rope Economy, How Inequality Became Big Business. Nelson, thank you.
Great to be on.